Coming to you live from the JRE Tobacco Aladino Mobile Studios, it's the Cigar Pulpit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm the Bishop of the Burn, Nick, and with me today, it's Mike Brinker.
Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing today, Nick?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Doing good, doing good.
So we're in the JRE Tobacco Aladino Mobile Studios in Mike's garage here.
Down in Mike's garage.
And Mike has some special cigars for us to smoke today.
Yes.
What have we got?
We've got some H. Upman Habanos.
Little petite Coronas here.
Yeah. Little Cuba Love.
Okay. So we're going to be doing our patriotic duty today and burning some contraband.
Right.
Love it. Love it.
I ordered some boxes. These are from 2017, 2018 maybe.
Okay.
And I've got three left, and we're smoking two of them.
Love it. Okay. So we're going to do our patriotic duty. We're going to burn some contraband, and we're just going to chat. We're going to chat. So why don't we go ahead and prep the cigars, and it's time to cut the cigar. The official cutting is brought to you by Dan the Man Ponder over there at Riverman Cigar Company, Crestwood, Missouri. And guys, you know, I've been saying it for a little bit. We're starting to get to the point where the weather is consistently nice, which makes that 1,500 square foot covered patio out there at Riverman Cigar Company so nice to chill out in front of because, you know, well, let's be real. We've been cooped up inside all winter long. You know, it gets smoky in the lounges and things of that nature. It's nice to go outside, get the fresh air, and you know, enjoy your cigar. And so if you come by Riverman, you can bring your lawn chair. You can sit out in front of the shop, you know, talk to people as they come and go, talk to, you know, the staff and everybody.
It's observe the sunset.
It's a great time. It's a great time. And Dan's got all kinds of great cigars over there. He always has a really great selection of Arturo Fuente, like some of the rare Fuentes and things of that nature. Full line of Aladino. I mean, there's all kinds of great cigars at Riverman Cigar Company you're going to try. So make sure if you're in the St. Louis area, you swing on by and say, hey. And if you're not in the St. Louis area, he does do mail order, so you can give him a call, and he can get a nice shipment of cigars sent to you right away. It's Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. And with that, it's time to go ahead and cut the cigar. I didn't nuke myself. No, I didn't. Good. I was worried that I didn't clear the chamber from the last time I used this.
That's all I ever hear.
What?
You never clear.
I mean, you know.
You do when we're just out smoking. It's just when you get ready to film, you're like, oh.
I know. I always end up just destroying myself. But, okay, so I'm going to take a picture of this guy because I'll be honest. I don't do these.
I don't really either. Regular. You know, I bought a few boxes of different stuff. And, you know, nowadays, just from everything you hear, it's like trying to get a hold of good Cubans anyway.
Oh.
Even through the legitimate, you know,
sources
like I had, you know, in 2017, it was a whole different deal.
Well, and my God, the prices on these things have just gone through the roof, you know.
For the three boxes I bought, I got these. I can't think of the second box. And then I got some. I can't think of any of the other boxes I got.
Okay.
It'll come to me after the show. But anyway, it came out to like, with shipping, like $8 a stick.
This has got such a nice cedar taste to the cold draw. I mean, I guess if it's been chilling in your humidor this long, it would probably have taken that on. But, yeah, my God, the cedar taste on the cold draw is just
intense. They had a really great flavor right away, too.
Okay.
Because I couldn't help, you know.
Well, yeah, get them in.
Bolivar, I got some Bolivars.
Okay.
With these, because I've always loved Bolivar.
All right. But, well, I'm going to fire this guy up because I am
Now this isn't exactly a 45 minute to hour smoke by any means, but they were all good. I haven't smoked one in probably a year or so.
That's all right. I have other cigars here, so that if we end up going longer, you know, I can always move on to something else. But this
plus I've got some other treasures that have been hiding in my humidor for a while.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, we can feel free to break into whatever treasures you want, or I can smoke what I brought. So, oh, I brought you something. Did I give you that already?
Yes.
Okay.
I went ahead and threw it in my humidor.
just making sure that I remembered. I wanted to make sure that I didn't forget and go home with it. Anyway, so
take those off now.
So, Mike, it's been a minute. How the hell you been?
I have been doing good. I've been extremely busy. I'm that guy that you're always referring to as everyone's been too busy.
Everyone's been busy. Well, it's not just been you. It's been a lot of people. So, yeah. And I understand. I mean, look, it's a commitment, one I've taken on, but I get it.
I'm in that weird spot that I'm sure some of our listeners are in, where my elderly parents are transitioning to forever nursing homes and not being able to do anything for themselves anymore,
yeah.
And trying to clear out from one place to move here to eventually move somewhere else. So I've got shit everywhere.
It's not an easy time of life.
Plus my health issues.
Well, yeah, and that's
which you know, some people know about them, some don't. But yeah. You know, I ain't the healthiest guy here.
I mean, it's all right. You know, I mean, some may say the same about me, but but anyway, the bottom line is you've got a lot going on, and I totally get that. Now, at some point, whenever life happens to sort itself out, you know, you're going to be transitioning from here to Georgia.
Yes.
And so you'll have that going on. Now, that'll put you, I believe I did the math, I looked it up one time, I think you're going to be about 4 hours from
Palm
Coast.
I'm going to be about 4 hours from Pulpit Fest in Florida.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
And for those of you interested in Pulpit Fest, again, I said it on the last show. I think I announced it when Dave was on that we are bumping up close to the ceiling on tickets for Pulpit Fest. So if you're interested in attending Pulpit Fest, you're going to want to head over to Eventbrite, Brite.com, and search for Pulpit Fest and get your complimentary tickets reserved, because there is going to have to be a cap, because Ken's shop is only so big. There's only so much room, you know, in the courtyard and everything that we can take up. And, you know, we can't just have full run of the place, you know. So there is a cap in terms of how many people can attend. And so if you are planning on going, but you haven't gone to Eventbrite yet, make sure you get over there, because we need to have the head count. But anyway,
it sounds like a good problem to have that you're having.
Dude, I'm
right
thrilled.
Now.
I mean, I did not anticipate this.
I mean, we're in April.
Well, no, I didn't anticipate this. I figured I'd be hawking tickets for this thing all the way up till it. And in fact, it's gone the opposite way, to where, like, I'm going to be cutting off tickets probably
by the end of April.
By the end of April, to where I'll have May, June, and July, where it's like, hey, guys, sorry, you waited too long, you know? And so I didn't anticipate this, but there's some cool stuff we're plotting and planning. Ken and I spoke the other last week, and you know, we've got some cool stuff that we're planning, locking down some guests, getting giveaways put together, coming up with games and things to do. I mean,
and that's another
thing.
It's gonna
be an intense thing
when you're trying to book guests. When you can tell them, hey, it's April, I've already sold out of tickets.
That's big.
They're gonna show.
Exactly.
You know, if they can make it, you know, they're gonna be like, okay, this ain't gonna be like 4 or 5 people. You know.
Yeah, no, this is going to be, you know, well, I mean, realistically, just putting this out there for everybody, the max on this is only 50. I mean, this is only 50. So this is a select group of people. But, hey, you know what? It's going to be a packed group. And, you know, there might be spouses that kind of tag along and everything. That's one thing. Our big concern is more count for
smokers
and giveaways. Exactly, smokers. You know, I want to know how many smokers are going to actually be there. But still, it's going to be a fun time. Looking forward to that. And, you know, have you booked your ticket yet?
I have not. I kind of thought maybe I'd have an in.
Yeah. But for headcount
if
purposes,
I start, like, walking with a limp or something.
It probably,
you know,
wouldn't hurt for you just to go ahead for headcount,
yes,
purposes. Just so,
yeah,
that I don't forget. I need to get on Bauer about that, too.
I will do that tonight.
That's fine. We'll take care of it. It'll be all right. Anyway, otherwise, I'm trying to think what else is going on that you and I can.
Well, I know this is going to. We're filming on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a Tuesday show.
It is.
OJ Simpson died this morning.
He did. And you know what? He can rest easy knowing that Nicole Brown's killer has finally died, and he can rest easy knowing that.
Yeah. And I'm not going to get into guilt or innocence, but he was one hell of a running back.
You know what? But the problem is he won't be remembered for that.
No.
You know that full well. His legacy is not going to be that. You know? And yes, the court of law said that he was found not guilty. I get that. But dude, come on. One court of law. That's true. The civil suit.
And then his other suit that he got arrested for in Vegas. He did 9 years for that.
That's true. You're right.
You know, that was hard time.
And let's be real. And I think that full well was.
They wanted a second chance.
The jury caught it. And they did the most they could to get him back for a slight of justice before. But such is life. It is what it is. But yeah. Nope. O.J. Simpson, 76. And I will say this.
Hey, he did get off.
What?
He did get off, though, on that first one.
He did.
That's not an easy thing to do.
Oh, I mean,
I don't care how much money you got. Look at Sam Bankman-Fried. He's going to prison for like 15 years.
The glove did not fit, so they must have quit.
Yeah.
It's what it is. But I will say this. I don't wish anybody dead, and I definitely don't wish anybody cancer. And so say what you will about O.J. Simpson.
True judgment is happening right now.
Precisely. If he was innocent.
He's up there.
He's up there. Otherwise, he went south. But
unless he confessed and prayed for reconciliation,
true.
You know, depends on your faith. Hey, I don't know what faith he was. I don't know what faith our listeners are. I'm sure it's a lot.
It's all up to him. But anyway, but I don't wish cancer death on anybody. So
no.
I feel bad for O.J. Simpson in that regard. That's a hell of a bad way to go. So anyway. But I know, dude, I was recording earlier and my phone is just blowing up from people texting me about O.J. Simpson. And I'm just like, okay, I know. Oh, God. So I haven't really discussed it here on the show yet, but like by the time this airs, last week was the whole big eclipse.
Right.
Did you do anything for that?
I slept through it all.
Okay.
I had treatment that morning, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I went out with the pieces of paper. And did the dot, you know, onto the paper to look at how the sun was and everything. It's a weird experience. I remember it from 2017.
Yeah, I experienced it 2017. Our entire warehouse shut down for like 3 hours so we could all sit outside and watch it.
Oh.
We all had glasses and everything. They provided glasses. It was for that company, it was a really surprising deal.
Big deal.
But, yeah. But,
my whole thing is how, like, eerie everything feels when it's happening.
Right.
How, like, it gets to be nighttime, but it's not nighttime. It's like a weird blue light kind of thing. And then the birds stop chirping. The bugs start going nuts. It gets all cool.
Lights come on.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a very weird feeling when that goes on.
And I don't know how it was throughout the different parts of the country that it hit with totality, but we were close to it here.
Yeah.
You know, down south.
I was going to say, if we'd have gone about an hour and a half down south, we probably would have been
right
in there.
And I know they said the trip back, the 2-hour trip back from Cape Girardeau,
yep.
You can look it up, to St. Louis, which is about 2 hours.
Yep.
Took 8 hours.
So
gas stations were running out of fuel. It was just a madhouse.
The problem was you have people going down at various different times all throughout the weekend, going down, hitting cabins, things of that nature, but they all come back at the same time.
Right.
And yeah, it's just a shit show. And, I have a friend of mine, she drives for Uber. She was driving around and she ended up getting caught in some of that doing an Uber drive and it wrecked her whole night doing Uber because of the traffic and everything.
Right. Like, even from St. Louis to Festus, which is about a half-hour drive,
yeah,
they said that was taking 2-3 hours.
Yep.
Because people thinking they could just drive down there that day.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool to watch on the news all these cars. I mean, I-55 didn't clear up till about 11 p.m., they said.
I had my tax appointment that morning, and so leaving my place, which I just live in Little Freeburg, Illinois, but Route 15 comes through town. So leaving my place, it's bumper to bumper all through town.
Which you'd never see.
Going south. Which, no, dude, you don't see anywhere near that traffic in my town. Then that went for quite a ways. Then I end up snaking up by Scott Air Force Base, which for most listeners, they have no idea what I'm talking about. But Air Mobility Drive, which runs in front of Scott, crosses over I-64 heading east. And the traffic, when you were crossing over, I could look on the eastbound 64. The traffic went as far as the eye could see both directions.
Yeah.
And it's both lanes, bumper to bumper, nobody moving. So then I'm moving, going up Scott Troy Road because my bookkeeper's up in Maryville, which, again, Google all this if you want to know the actual geography. But I'm taking Scott Troy Road north. Well, Scott Troy Road south, which leads to the 64 interchange I was just discussing,
was jammed
bumper to bumper. So all I'm thinking is, how am I going to get home this tax meeting is over? But by then,
everyone was where they wanted to be.
Everybody was where, exactly. So it was no big deal.
But see, you know, with all these navigation systems, people are trying to be smart and thinking they're outsmarting the traffic. And there was no way to get south.
No. You couldn't do
from St. Louis without extreme traffic.
It was going to be bad no matter what you did.
And now I understand. I think I brought it up before, maybe in private or something. The Department of Conservation of Missouri for the last month or two had been saying, if you're going to go and enjoy the eclipse, make sure you're stocked up on food, water, and gasoline.
Now you get it.
Now I get it. They knew this shit was going to get... They weren't talking about end-of-the-world stuff. They were talking about a million people trying to get into
you're
a small
be in
town like Cape
for
Girardeau.
10 hours, so you better have food, water, and some extra gas.
Right.
Yeah.
And nobody was ready for, you know...
Yep.
They didn't have... I don't know how easy it is to get topped off with a tanker when you're outside your normal scheduled fuel delivery, stuff like that. But apparently they weren't expecting that kind of, you know, traffic.
Well, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting problem to see, you know, and there's I'm sure it was like this in other spots. I mean, like my dad, he lives out in Indianapolis area. They were in the path of totality. So, of you know, he just went out on his front lawn and he could see it, you know, which, hey, if you live in that path, it's perfect. But, you know, you've got – but he was telling me that all the news channels and everything everywhere were saying, if you don't have to go anywhere today, don't.
Don't.
Like just stay home. And it's just kind of crazy to think. But to a greater point, what Monday kind of showcased for me was these were all people that – were able to take off work, had an interest in it, and were going south. And you saw the amount of traffic that happened just from that. I wasn't able to take off to go south. I had my tax meeting. You were busy. You were sleeping. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's like, there were, what percentage of the population drove to go see the path of totality? And then when you stop and think about, that's a small percentage of the population that did that. And the traffic backed up that bad. The infrastructure couldn't even handle that to get them moving. What happens in case of an actual legitimate emergency?
Well, first of all,
we're all boned.
Well, yeah, we're all. But in those situations, though, too, if you're having to evacuate a city, they turn all lanes one direction.
Now, that's valid. You're right.
You know,
we wouldn't have eastbound and westbound 64.
Right.
It would be everybody.
They would get all semis off the.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be passenger vehicles and buses and. But still, that would take hours to happen for them to set it up. So you'd probably already have a lot of bad congestion anyway. I mean, it's never going to be pretty.
No.
But, you know, there are things they can do to help, you know, take care of those situations. I watch a lot of disaster movies, you know, and it's like when you start seeing everyone going the same direction, regardless of the lane, you know the world is fucked.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. Well, you bring that up. You're right. Walking Dead. I remember in the very beginning of that show, you know, when he's going into Atlanta, all the cars are coming one direction. So
the West Wing, when they had that meltdown situation.
Yeah. No.
To speed it up, everything goes one direction.
Interesting.
Pull all commercial vehicles off the road, nothing but passenger and buses.
And if you have a four-wheel drive vehicle, just start using lawns, you know?
I've got a sneeze tickle. Building, and it's like, damn it, I lost it.
Watermelon.
it's all this beautiful pollen flying around
out
there.
Oh, God. I've been in the point now. We're at the point of the year that I'm taking my Allegra pill in the morning. You know?
Well, plus, I was doing some moving today.
Oh, so you got dust.
I got dust and everything, you know. So. fun for me.
There you go. This is smoking really well.
Yeah.
I am enjoying this. I did a retrohale, and
must have been smooth. I didn't hear you.
Slight, very, very slight pepper on the back end. But for the most part, no, it's very smooth.
Yeah.
And
I really like the petite Corona really size good. Like this, yeah. You know, on a Cuban. The Bolivars were the Torpedo.
Yeah.
But this, and I still can't remember the other sticks I got. The other sticks were this size.
Okay.
And everyone's like, why'd you get the... It's like, first of all, you're really going to taste the tobacco well.
Yeah.
There's no just filler crap in there. It's just, you know. And I was really happy with all of them.
Perfect. I mean, look, if you're happy with it, that's all that matters. And, you know, it's smoking really well. I have a few Cubans at home that are just chilling in the humidor that I probably should look at because I haven't done anything with those in a while, and I want to make sure that they're still okay because I did have one time that was chilling in the humidor, and it got a little...
Funky?
Funky. So I need to... It's a good way of putting it. A little funky.
I mean, you can't age a cigar forever.
No.
And a lot of this is just because... I would forget my humidor is down in the basement.
Yeah.
I'd walk out and leave, and we'd discuss, oh, shit, I was going to bring this or
X,
that.
I
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I moved this back the other day, and I'm like, now it's up here in the old fake garage.
Yeah.
So there's no windows, no nothing, and it's perfectly, you know, climate controlled there. So
there you go.
Because I barely go through humidity with this thing. I use the beads.
Okay.
And I have not filled my cup. They're still pretty expanded in a year.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, for a cheaper humidor, it really does hold it.
Good.
But it was in the basement in a dark area, so it was nice and cool.
Yeah.
Not cold, but, you know.
That helps.
And no windows around it or nothing.
Basements tend to hold on to some humidity anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, in St. Louis, depending upon the time of the year, is either... stupid dry or stupid humid. So
we didn't really have a lot of freezing cold months. So the furnaces weren't just hammering all the time.
For sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Drying everything out.
Which is good. It helped keep the power bills down a little bit.
Yeah, the woolly worms were wrong this year, from what I understand.
Oh, well, okay then.
Everyone I saw were predicting a bad winter, but we just didn't have it here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I would prefer that. So.
Yes. I'm old now. I don't like that cold shit.
No.
That's why I'm moving to Georgia.
I was going to say, you're gonna eliminate a season, basically.
Yes. Most of a season, yeah.
Most of a season. So, well, why don't we do this? Because this is a spinoff of something that Noah and I did.
It's time for the Villiger Cigars Entertainment Report, brought to you by...
Villiger.
Villiger Cigars, one of the leading cigar and cigarillo manufacturers in the world, founded in 1888 and still family-owned and operated. Head over to VilligerCigars.com and check the store locator to find a shop near you that carries them. We guarantee that Villiger Cigars will be a wonderful addition to your humidor and cigar rotation.
Okay, so when I had Noah on the show, not last week, but the week prior, we did our ranked top 10 favorite gangster movies.
Right.
And knowing that I was going to be doing this with you, and knowing that you're a big horror movie buff,
yes,
I'm like, you know what? Let's go ahead and do our top 10 ranked horror movies.
Right.
And so I sprung that on you.
I was quick to get mine prepared.
I mean, I figured you knew what you were doing, but I, on the other hand, I kind of was voice texting into my phone as I was driving here, and I came up with a list. And I came up with a much longer list, to be honest, than I thought I would. And truthfully, I came up with more for this than I did for gangster movies.
There's a lot more. I mean,
there
really,
is a lot more.
There are not as many gangster movies as you really think there are.
True. It feels like there are, but there's not. And maybe some of them, kind of like I included Pulp Fiction on the list. It's kind of like,
right.
You know. Like, I've had, like, Luke reached out to me and was like, dude, how do you include Pulp Fiction, but you don't put The Dark Knight, the Christian Bale with Heath Ledger as the Joker? He's like, and I'm like, I thought about that one, but I count that more of a superhero movie than right. I do a gangster movie. But I see where he's coming from with that.
Right.
Because the gangsters, they played a very large role. The Joker obviously taking over the crime families and everything took a large role. So I understand why he would put that out there. But I thought it was more of a superhero movie. But on the flip side, I can understand why along those lines you might say, eh, Pulp Fiction doesn't count. So anyway, with that being said, there might be some movies on my list that you're going to be like, I don't know if I count that as a horror movie, but I tried to keep my list as horror-ish as possible and take those kind of arguable ones and throw them in my honorable mention category.
I think I've only got one that people might be like, is that on the fringe of horror? But when you think about the director,
yeah.
It makes more sense.
Okay, okay. Well, by the way, I have my nice tasty beverage from QT. QT, where you can get an extra large iced tea for less than $2. Can't
there
complain.
You go.
Maybe I'll get them to sponsor the beverage. Anyway, so do you want to go first? Go with your number 10?
All right. I've got a lot of honorable mentions, too, but I'll just give you the 10.
We can do the honorable mentions after we
right.
do the 10. Because I don't want to like spoil it by saying like what is not on the list. You
okay.
know? So,
okay. I think a lot of people are going to notice a theme with mine, too.
Okay.
If you can put it in the comments what you think the theme is, go right ahead. For me, number 10 is Prom Night from 1980.
Okay.
1980, not the recent one they did with... No, that was crap.
Okay, okay. I don't know if I've seen that one. I remember it. I think I remember the box. See, this is the thing I... like.
You
I'm
remember
not...
seeing it at the movie... Video store.
The video store. Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Is it...
It's like a dude in a mask, like a ski mask
yeah.
with a knife, you know, coming up like through there.
And I'm not...
Jamie Lee Curtis.
I'm not a big horror guy, but I do remember walking through the horror section at the video stores back growing up. And dude, I'll say, some of the box art and some of the posters and shit...
Was always better.
They had the best... box art and posters. I mean, this
now,
is back
sadly,
in the day of the paintings and everything.
Some of the best box art was some of the
shittiest movies, I'm sure.
It's like they spent the whole budget on the artist.
On the artist. But, you know, hey, it got you to watch it,
mm-hmm.
potentially, you know. So my first one, number 10, it's one that, admittedly, the ending doesn't hold up all that well. And admittedly, it might not be, people might rip me apart for this one, but I have a soft spot for it because it came out while I was working at the movie theater in high school and I watched it and there was parts of it that were just so freaking good. And like I said, the ending probably wasn't the best, but I like a lot of the people that are in it, which is the 1999 remake of A House on Haunted Hill starring Jeffrey Rush. Ali Larder's in it. Famke Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
Famke Jensen. Tay Diggs is in it.
Yeah.
Chris Kattan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget about him.
Lisa Loeb is in it.
She was?
She was a Channel 3 reporter.
Okay. Listed. I thought she was in The House or
yeah,
something.
But like, I mean, but dude, like there's some legit actors in this movie. And some of the sequences in the first, I'd say half to three quarters of that movie are just super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the ending probably was a little weak. But that's why it's number 10, because it's my guilty pleasure favorite on this list, but I couldn't rank it any higher than 10. Although, number 9 is also a super guilty pleasure. So, anyway, what's your number 9?
My number 9 is Christine.
The car.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a good movie. That's a Stephen King, right?
Stephen King, directed by John Carpenter.
Okay, okay. That's now she. What was the deal with that? She died and came back as the car.
No,
the
it
car,
was just
or?
A. And it never really went into it too much. I mean, it was evil coming through the line of the assembly plant.
Oh, okay.
It killed a guy.
Ah.
And it just really killed, you know, and took over everybody, you know, who owned it.
Okay. Okay. My number 9 is my second super guilty pleasure horror movie. It's one that, look, dude, I know it's fucking stupid, but Freddy versus Jason is my favorite of all the Night of the Living, or no, Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th movies. Although Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D is also really, really funny. But Freddy versus Jason, it was like the culmination of fan, like, interest. Like, the fan base said, we want this. And the movie, companies were like,
The party in the cornfield.
Oh, dude. It's the...
Where it's just like, wham, 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 wham.
And, like, Freddy's like, that's a, you know, just bringing Jason into the nightmare realm. And, you know, and what was it? There was a dude that was basically like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, right?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since I've watched it. But, like...
You had the one chick from Destiny's Child.
Yeah. It was so stupid, and I loved it so much because it was just, it was exactly what you wanted from a team-up movie.
Right.
You don't look at this and say, like, okay, we're going to get, like, a masterpiece of cinema. No. This is everything cheesy that I wanted from this meetup. So
it was like Batman Forever, but a horror movie.
Yeah, it was great. Well,
made a lot of money.
Better
than
Batman Forever. But yeah, exactly. It made money, and... They followed it up with, what, Jason in Space, which I was like, what the fuck? That one was bad.
Yeah.
That one was really bad. Anyway, all right, moving on. What's your number eight?
Number eight for me is The Thing, 1982.
Oh, yeah.
That's my fringe one. Is that sci-fi? Is it horror?
That's why I didn't put it on. I counted it more sci-fi.
And the reason I put it on is because of, again, this was a John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, I could see that.
And the music was really tense, really got you, you know, but I went with horror.
I almost threw you off and asked to do top 10 sci-fi.
That I would have needed a few days.
But I was like, no, he'll be able to do horror real quick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's why I did not count that one. I counted it more sci-fi. But I think it can straddle and go either way.
It had enough gore to go... horror.
It's the Bicurious movie. It can go either way. So it did have gore. That's true. All right. Well, my number eight is also one that I don't know how you would classify it. I'm classifying it as horror. I guess you could classify it as maybe like action to a degree. But I'm going with the original Jaws.
That's a horror movie. It is.
Straight up, dude. I mean,
pretty much everyone who lists of horror movies counts that as a horror movie.
Okay, well then I'm counting
and
it as
I read all those lists and this and that, and everyone really counts that as a horror.
Okay, well then I'm going with it because, dude, it is so well done in the way, and I know that it was for budgetary purposes and everything else that they had to hide the shark until the end and everything. It was so well done, and it built all that tension, and then when it finally happens, you're just like, oh my god, and like everything's going nuts. And, you know, it was just such a well-done movie.
Yeah.
And the sequels, they didn't live up. Although, again, I didn't even put it on my honorable mention list, but cheesy movie soft
3D.
Spot. 3D is so great.
Louis Gossett Jr., we just lost him.
Just passed, and I don't know if I talked about this on the show or not. It's the worst movie, but I love it so much because it's Jaws and SeaWorld. Jaws and SeaWorld.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you get a better movie concept than Jaws in SeaWorld.
Yeah.
So it was so good. So, yeah, Jaws, the original Jaws, though, is my number eight.
Okay. So my number seven is the 2004 Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, with the zombie baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That freaked me out. When I saw that freaked me.
Great cast.
Was a great cast. That
Phil
was
Phil from Modern Family was a douche.
He was. You're right. I forgot he was in that.
Yeah.
It was a Zack Snyder movie, wasn't it? Didn't he direct that?
I believe so, yeah. And what's his name wrote it? The guy who did Guardians of the Galaxies now.
Gunn. James Gunn.
James Gunn. Yeah. I think he wrote it.
I'll be damned.
So, yeah, it had a lot of star power on the front and back end of it.
It really also kind of, that with 28 Days Later, kind of really kickstarted that whole zombie thing again,
mm-hmm.
you know? And man, it was good. I remember
had a great soundtrack too.
It did, and I remember going back when that hit. I watched it, and I was like, "Okay, this is cool." Now I'm gonna go watch the Romero version, and the Romero version was not as good.
No,
it had that weird kind of. There was like a really weird, trippy sequence where they're going through the mall, but you know, but it's one of those things. I got to thinking about it as I'm watching this. I'm like, you know, a mall.
Well, if you could secure it.
Tactically, it's poor because you've got a lot of entry and exit points. But you're right. If you could secure it, a mall could be a really cool place to hide out during a zombie apocalypse.
As long as it's a up-to-date mall. Most malls now are shit.
True.
You might not have no food or anything
That's true.
In there.
All the food court bays are empty. It's like, oh, shit. I'm living on Auntie Anne's. So my number seven is one that it's going to be a little obscure, and it's one that I watched with with an old girlfriend, and it's from 2016, and it's a Korean horror movie called Train to Busan.
Oh yeah, I've not seen it. I heard it's a great zombie movie.
Dude, this is the best zombie movie.
It's ranked up there in a lot of lists.
It is so good. And the only way I watched it, we had to watch it with subtitles, so it wasn't dubbed or anything. But it is so good. It is creepy as hell. It's a zombie movie that takes place entirely on a train. And so they're like going car to car trying to get away from the zombies and everything. But it's a man with his estranged daughter and other passengers become trapped on a speeding train during a zombie outbreak in South Korea. Holy crap. It's unreal. Like, it's one of the best zombie movies I've ever seen.
I've heard a lot about it. I've just never had a chance to stream it.
Train to Busan. B-U-S-A-N. If you're into zombie movies and you haven't seen this yet, do yourself a favor and watch it. It's amazing. So, that's my number seven.
My number six is am I actually going to move something here?
Uh-oh. He's calling an audible.
I'm calling an audible here. I'm going to go with Scream for number six.
Mm, okay.
When it came out, it kind of basically, this is the reason. It was a slightly above average horror movie.
Yeah.
But it brought horror back in the 90s.
I would agree with that.
You know, it kind of with a more legitimate story behind it and everything, not just a...
Well, and it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, too, because it kind of like...
It talked about
the rules of the slasher movie and things of that nature.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll be honest. When that first hit, I wasn't a horror movie guy. It really didn't do much for me. But when I started working at the movie theater in high school... Can I do this? Oh, God, I'm not going to be able to do this. Trying to slide the band off of the cigar. Oh, we're just going to peel. Anyway, son of a bitch. This did not want to come off.
Mine came off pretty easy.
Yeah, I know. I watched you do it, and that's when I was like, oh, I'll go ahead and take mine off, too. And it's like, no, it's not going to want to do that. Anyway, I started working at the movie theater when Scream 2 came out.
Okay.
So I quickly caught up, watched the first one, watched the second one, and I liked them, but they're not like, again, slasher flicks aren't my thing. What I did like, though, was the fact that it had kind of that self-reflective, tongue-in-cheek kind of thing of like, this is going against the rules or this and that and whatever. I liked that aspect of those movies.
And like I said, I mainly put it on there just because it really rebrought a high-budget, high-grossing, you know.
But see, correct me if I'm wrong. Horror movies these days, you don't see a lot of high-budget horror movies. It's keep the budget low, put it out, and it makes a ton of money because the budget is low. And so you can crank them out and do more with them.
Yeah.
And
a lot of times, the bigger the budget... Just because I've been watching a lot of Icons Unearthed with like these where it goes behind all the movies and stuff, the bigger the budget, the more hands get involved, and they always fuck up the story.
I think that tends to happen with a lot of movies,
right.
Not just horror
movies. Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's because they're doing like Lord of the Rings, the Batman movies.
Oh, okay.
You know, all these other, you know, and it's like the bigger the budgets got after the first one was successful, the more they started fucking with things.
Like Batman Forever.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, Batman Forever did extremely well in the theaters.
Well, I'm sure it did.
It was Batman and Robin that really went off the rails.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to say this. Maybe a hot take, maybe not. I thought they screwed up with The Hobbit, making that as many movies as they did. I think that should have just been a solid, just, you know, go for it. I don't think The Hobbit needed to be as many movies.
I suffered through Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I like the original trilogy.
So I didn't even do The Hobbit.
I like the original trilogy. I have not watched the extended cut, though. But the original trilogy, I don't have 2.5 days to kill on movies. But the original trilogy, for its time, man, that's good watching right there.
I'm watching that Icons Unearthed, or whatever it's called, on Vice. And they're doing, at 8 o'clock is Batman, and then at 9 o'clock is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
On Wednesdays.
Okay.
And so the Lord of the Rings one, man, Peter Jackson was just crazy. You know, it's like everyone's just like, dude, what are we doing? You know, I mean.
Oh, he was making like full suits of armor that these guys are having to wear. I mean, he was going so far into the authenticity of it all.
And last night's show, they were talking about like basically the people doing all the computer animation and stuff, like all the battle scenes and everything. They went from like 5 to 10 people to like 200. To do this movie, and they're trying to get licensed product, and you know, Apple shut them down, and the guy gets a call from Steve Jobs just like cussing them out, you know, and everything, like, you're trying to steal my people and this and that, never get the licenses for this. And I mean, it's really interesting.
Huh.
Even though I didn't care for the movies, watching the behind the scenes shit is really cool.
Okay.
And apparently Viggo Mortensen is just a stud. They're like,
well, I don't doubt that.
You know, he wouldn't leave the set, you know, if it looked like it was going to be trouble getting him back in time tomorrow. He'd just camp out and sleep there and shit, or, you know, getting to know the horses, like staying with the horses all the time. So when they had to do the scenes, the horse was totally comfortable with him.
Well, that's cool.
Shit like that. You know, getting his tooth busted out.
Yeah.
And saying, fuck it, you know, fix it in post-op. I don't need to go to the dentist.
Nice.
I mean, apparently he was just totally cool.
Okay. Well, I know the two Hobbit guys, not the main two, but the Pippin and Merry, whoever played those guys, they want to be buried with him. Because in the books, I guess, those characters were buried with Aragorn.
Yeah.
And so they basically are saying that they need to be buried with Viggo Mortensen when it all goes down. So, I don't know. I think that's kind of funny myself, but, you know, whatever. Okay, so did you do your number 6?
Yeah, because that's where I did the
that's where you did Audible. The Scream. Okay, you did Scream. My number 6 is also another zombie movie, and I got to give credit to it, man. It's the original Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
George Romero. Yeah. I remember watching that, black and white, and I think because of the black and white, it's got that real creepy factor and everything to it.
Yeah.
And you think you're watching this and it's all going down and it just gets so messed up, and you get the little girl that's the zombie and she kills the parents and this and that and whatever, and you've got the
racial overtones.
Tons of racial overtones. And then right at the end, you get the one survivor that makes it out of the house and bam, just taken down because the military guy sees him and
no, they weren't even military. Remember, they were just redneck Hoosiers and cops and stuff.
Okay.
It was like a posse. Yeah, you know, was cleaning up the town.
And the one survivor is the black guy. And I don't.
They didn't even try to figure out.
They just took him down.
It's walking boom.
Yeah. So it's just, and it's so sad because it's like he made it through all that just to be taken out like that. And anyway, no, there's so much to that movie. I really do enjoy the original Night of the Living Dead.
Well, I'm going with another original from my number 5.
Okay.
I am going with the 1980 Friday the 13th.
Okay.
The Mrs. Voorhees special.
I was going to say, the first one when it was his mom.
Yeah. Okay. And one of the reasons I really enjoyed that, and a couple of these others that we'll get to, there was nothing extraordinary. There was nothing supernatural. This was just a mother that lost her son and lost it.
Yep.
And all those murders could have happened. You know, it wasn't like she was flying through the air or nothing. And she was just stabbing people in the dark at a camp, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, every one of those kills could have happened by a woman her age.
Okay.
You know, those are the ones that get me more.
Okay.
That could have happened, you know, at that time period.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I, you know, I just... I respect both series, Night of the Living, or God, I keep doing that, Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. I respect both of them. They made a shit ton of money, and I know a lot of people really love them. They've just never, oh, there went my band. There's just never been, I haven't had a real, like, love and attachment to it, because I've just never been into, I scare super easy. Mm-hmm. I'm super jumpy. So
I was never really into the Nightmare movies. None of them are on my list.
Okay. New Nightmare is pretty good. Or yeah, that's the one, the Wes Craven's New Nightmare,
okay.
Where it's like set in the real world,
right.
And they're making like a Nightmare movie and everything. That was good. Again, so weak at the end. It's like they got to the end and they're like,
what do we
A, doing? We don't know what to do, and B, we don't have the budget to do it. So let's just do this real quick. And they just kind of ended it. But there were some parts of that movie that are really good. But anyway, I just don't have the attachment to those movies that a lot of people do,
mm-hmm.
that are my age or slightly older than me, because I just, it's, again, I'm jumpy. So, like, the idea of slasher movies, they thrive on jump scares, and jump scares
right.
piss me off because all I do is just like, you know, so I don't like it. I like something that makes me think. So my number five is a classic. I love the Universal Monster movies.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. And you're gonna see that in the next five here. Not entirety, but a portion. But number five is Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, love that one.
Love the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
And I don't understand why. It must be a licensing issue. No one's ever redone it. No one's done anything other than that movie with that creature.
Yeah. Well, it had a few sequels, but
did it? I don't remember it ever having a sequel.
There were some sequels to that one a long time ago. Nothing
okay.
more recent. Now I will say the closest we've come to a recent version. Remember the movie Shape of Water?
Yeah.
Came out a couple of years ago. That was kind of a Creature from the Black Lagoon love story-ish kind of thing. Because the woman, she fell in love with the creature, which looked a lot like the Creature from the Black Lagoon, I thought.
Right.
It wasn't, but it was close, but it didn't have that horror element to it that the Creature did. You're right. I don't know why Universal doesn't do more with that character. I don't know if it's...
They may have lost the rights to it or something. You never know.
Possibly.
A lot of those things get really weird after certain years.
They always include that movie when they put out like box sets of the movies and everything. They always include it. So like
they might not have going forward.
That could be. Maybe they have distribution of the
like,
old ones, but not the current.
That Icons Unleashed deal. The guy that owns the movie rights to Batman is just some no-name guy that went to work for DC because he said as a kid, I'm going to get the movie rights to Batman one day.
And
bought it for like $50,000.
Wow.
Because after Superman, you know, they go into it all. Like after Superman with Christopher Reeve, they're like, oh, okay, we've got ours. You know, that's it. No, you know, we don't need any more.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't thinking
ahead.
Right.
Well, that's why Sony still has Spider-Man. And Disney and Marvel have to, you know, work with Sony because Marvel had just gone through bankruptcy. They needed some cash, so they sold the film rights to Spider-Man to Sony. And as long as Sony still does something with it every once in a while, they keep it. So it's bizarre. So, well, anyway, that's my number five is Creature from the Black Lagoon.
My number four is more a movie I think you would really like. You need to check out. We've discussed it, I believe, and you haven't seen it. Prince of Darkness came out in the late 80s. It's a John Carpenter movie.
Okay.
It's more of a thinker horror movie.
Okay.
With a lot of religion and physics and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's a little bit of zombieism type stuff, possession.
Okay.
A lot of gore. But
all right.
It's more of a it's part of John Carpenter's trilogy of the apocalypse.
Okay.
It's The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and In the Mouth of Madness.
Okay. All right. So Prince of Darkness. I'll have to check that out. My number four is another Universal Monster movie. 1931's Dracula. Bela Lugosi, man. That movie, it's just dripping with vampire goodness. It's like Bela Lugosi does the performance of his life, and it's just... I saw it real young, you know. I got into the Universal Monster movies because the library, believe it or not, had a series of books, and each one was a different monster. And basically, each book just kind of recapped what happened in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like in the kids section or some shit.
Right.
So like I'm looking at these, I'm like, this is awesome, you know? And so then I watched the movies, and that one. But what's nice about those is they have that horror kind of element. But let's be real, they're 1931. It's not scary, mm-mm. you know? So like a kid can watch it, and it might be a little scary for a kid, but you know, as an adult, you're just able to appreciate it. But I love that movie. It's so good. And Renfield, when they get there. And they're looking, and they open up the boat, and he's just at the bottom of the stairs doing the kind of grinning in there. And it's like, this is great. I love this. So, yeah. Nope. 1931's Dracula.
All right. My number three is another old original, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974.
I knew it. I'm driving over here. I text you. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to think of what he's going to name. And for whatever reason, Texas Chainsaw popped onto my head. And I'm just like, oh, God. I'll be honest, dude. There's a lot of reasons why I cannot stand those movies. Aside from just, it's just the gore factor. There's just, it's not just the gore. It's the griminess, the dirtiness, and the, like, just foul disgustingness of the family. And all the other, and just everything. It's just like, it feels so filthy. And I get it. I get that's what they're going for. But man, it's not a for me thing. But, you know, but it adds a lot to the movie.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. Okay, so that was what, your number three?
Yeah.
My number three is The Omen with Gregory Peck.
Okay.
The first one, so good. Sequels, not so much. I know they've got this new one that's coming out.
Right, the first Omen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that original one, man, that original one with Gregory Peck was so good. And was that was the one where the guy got decapitated by the pane of glass?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And it like came down, and his head is like rolling as the glass is going by. His head's like rolling on the glass. I'm like, holy shit! You know, I mean, it's just a crazy movie. But it's where you learn: A, don't name your kids Damien, and B, check the scalp line for the little 666 birthmark, because if you have it, you've got the devil's kid. Just saying.
All right.
Number two. Who does number two work for?
My number two is My Bloody Valentine, 1981.
You like the 80s slasher flicks.
I grew up watching them on a dark hill in a secluded house with my grandma.
Dear God.
Yeah.
You've talked about that before. Yeah.
So they all hold a place in my heart.
Okay.
And again, nothing supernatural about this movie.
No, it's all feasible.
It's all feasible, all rational kills and scares and this and that.
Okay. Well, my number two is my last of my Universal Monster movies. And there's just something about the visual of it and everything. I love 1933's Claude Rains in The Invisible Man. He's all wrapped up in the bandages. He comes into the place and he needs a room, and he's just kind of a dick. And then they go up there and, you know, he's unwrapping the bandage. And like, for the time, the special effects for the time of the bandages unwrapping and there being nobody there and everything like that.
Right. That was crazy.
It was freaking nuts. And like, it's just such a, I like that movie so much, but it really is the visuals for that just like do it for me. And, I really dig the original Invisible Man. I have not seen the 2020 version.
I haven't either. It gets ranked up there a lot, and it's like, there's a lot of movies that have come out recently that get ranked really highly that I've watched, and it's like, these aren't horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Midsommar. That is on everyone's list now.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen that either, so I don't know, but
it's like 2 hours of crap for a few killings.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I did see Hereditary.
That one's all...
That one tends to get mentioned a lot lately, too, but that one, it mind-fucked me more than anything. And
right.
I was like, I'm not feeling this. Like, and by the end of it, I was really not feeling it.
Right.
That's when I had to, like, go and cleanse my mental palate and see Jojo Rabbit. So... Which, that's a weird thing. Cleansing my mental palate by going and watching
Nazis.
A kid whose imaginary friend was Happy Hitler.
Yeah.
It's like, probably wasn't the best idea. But
it did have Scarlett Johansson in it, though.
It did. It did indeed.
So now we're back to my number one.
We're on number one.
And if you've noticed a trend here.
I have indeed.
My number one is the 1978 Halloween. The original John
Carpenter.
It makes
sense with the trend.
Yep.
Yep. And it kind of birthed the slasher movie.
Yeah, it really kind of did.
Yeah. So, no, that makes sense.
Brought Jamie Lee Curtis into the world.
It did. You know, back when she was a smoke show. Now, manlier than me. But a smoke show then. But anyway, Activia.
For the longest time, it was the highest grossing independent film ever made.
Really? I guess I could see that, because I would imagine the budget on that was probably relatively small.
Yeah. All the leaves had to be recollected in California after each shoot to be used again, because they're supposed to be in Illinois.
Oh, that's funny. That's so funny. And they used the William Shatner mask.
Yep.
So my number one, for those of you who know me and have paid attention over the years, whenever this subject comes up, my top horror movie... is The Exorcist.
I was going to say The Exorcist.
It's The Exorcist. That movie, when I saw it the first time, by the end of it, I was just like blown away. I've seen it in the theater a couple times. I remember when they re-released it somewhere in the neighborhood of like 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
They did that re-release where they added in a few things. And one of the things they added in was when, in kind of near the beginning, when they're in the dark kitchen and the flames rear up or whatever... they added like the shadow of that statue that the priest sees in Saudi Arabia or where Iran or Iraq or whatever, in one of the shadows. So you see that and you're like, oh shit, you know, but it's a split second. I mean, it's just enough for your eyes to catch it and your brain to go, wait, did I just see? And then it's like gone. Those little things, that movie just mind fucks you.
Plus,
so bad.
It holds a place for anyone who lives in the St. Louis area.
True. Exactly.
I mean, it happened here.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know. I just like it because it's got that sense of foreboding, and it's horror, but it's not jump scare horror.
There's some jump scares,
There's a few, but there's so much more to it than just that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's such – I love it. Such a good movie. And also one where sequels were not needed and yet produced. So what are you going to do? So,
right.
So let's talk honorable mentions. What have you got? You don't have those written down.
Well, I've got them scratched out.
Oh, okay.
Phantasm 2.
Okay. I don't know that one.
That one's a good one. The first two were really good, I thought.
Okay.
Let's see, another honorable mention was another 80s slasher, The Burning.
I don't know that one.
It was
all.
The acting debut of one George Costanza. And he is totally George Costanza in this movie, too.
Really?
Yeah, as a teenager.
Okay. He did a McDonald's commercial, too.
Yeah. And he kind of had hair. That's funny, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else was I going to go with? The original Night of the Living Dead was going to be one of my, you know, The Exorcist was going to be an honorable mention.
Okay.
You're not going to see movies like The Sixth Sense or anything like that on my list.
Yeah, that's more of a thriller.
Yeah, you know.
It kind of brings in the supernatural, but I would say it's more of a thriller.
Like, they put Silence of the Lambs on a lot of the lists. That is not a horror movie.
That's a crime movie.
Right. That's a thriller.
It's a thriller. It's a crime movie. It's right. It's a police procedural kind of thing. It's,
right.
It's not a horror movie.
No, not by any means whatsoever.
So I had Interview with the Vampire.
Okay.
On the list. I really like that movie. I just and I know it's vampires, so you could say it's horror, but like I don't know. I just I don't.
There's a lot of story.
I think it's a one that straddles horror and drama.
Right.
So I would call it more of a like drama than a horror.
A romanticized horror.
Yes. So like I was kind of like eh, whatever. One that is definitely an 80s movie through and through. Again, just didn't make the cut. The Lost Boys.
I was on the fence about that one too. I didn't even write it, but
The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and for an 80s, dude, and it's got that epic dude shirtless playing the sax and everything like that. I mean, I've seen so many memes with that guy. It's ridiculous. But, like, it's such a, like, quintessential 80s movie. This town's being overrun by vampires, and who can stop them? Corey Feldman.
Well, you know who directed that?
That
Joel Schumacher.
Who did Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Yep.
I was like, I know this. But, no, also a really good movie. Here's one. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I watched it. It's definitely more, I would consider it more of a comedy than a horror movie, but it definitely has horror elements to it. Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, I love that's one.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil is amazing.
I completely forgot about that, but yes, it's
so stupid, but it's just, it's great.
And again, really, it could have had, you know,
yes,
it was realistic.
Because the thing is, it's a horror movie because, like, bad things happen to people.
Gory things happen
to
people.
But the thing is, it's all a misunderstanding. The whole thing is a giant
accidents and misunderstanding.
And it's just so funny to watch this
Those
thing
guys
unfold.
Are hilarious. Those two, Tucker and Dale, are hilarious.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Is a definite.
If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it.
Yes.
Another one that I kind of counted more as a thriller, but I like it, so maybe it could have been, but The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds.
Yeah, I mean, it's a creature feature.
It is. I kind of counted it more as, like, you know, a thriller, but you could see it.
Yeah.
The original Godzilla. I love the original Godzilla. Either the original Japanese version from, I think, 54, or you could do the recut American version with Raymond Burr from, I think it was maybe a couple years later, 56 or 58, you know, that they cut Raymond Burr into the movie so that it would have the appeal for the American audience. But yeah, the original Godzilla, it's like, dude, I don't need him fighting other monsters. I don't need Mecha Godzilla. I just want to see Godzilla come out of the ocean, trash the shit out of Tokyo, and go away, you know? That's all I want to see. I just want to see destruction.
Right.
Godzilla 85. I love that one because he stomped Bambi in the beginning. Remember that?
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, dude. The very beginning, they had the cartoon where, like, Bambi's just there and just eating little flowers. All of a sudden, boom, Godzilla's foot crushes him. And the name of the cartoon was Godzilla versus Bambi. I mean, it's – but Godzilla 85 was great because, again, there's not a lot to it other than Godzilla comes alive, trashes the shit out of Tokyo and goes away.
Gotcha.
You know? So, anyway. Another one, kind of creature feature you were mentioning from the 50s, The Blob.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I love the original Blob. Steve McQueen, you know?
I like all three Blobs.
I haven't seen any of the others.
The second one, Son of the Blob, was a 1970-something movie. Mm-hmm. It was directed by none other than J.R. Ewing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the one in the 80s with Matt Dillon and them. That was, you know,
I remember the box art with that, where the dude's like screaming and the blob is like over him and everything. It's like, yeah. There's something about 1950s kind of like cheesy horror flicks. The things you'd see as a double feature at a drive-in, you know, like Invaders from Outer Space and shit like that.
It's right.
Like, I love that kind of, like, pop culture feel of it all.
I forgot about a great one I love, Cabin in the Woods.
Mm.
I don't know why that slipped my mind, but I apologize.
Okay.
Cabin in the Woods. Once again, took a, you know, jab at itself, you know, and at horror movies and everything, and, you know.
Yeah. Just
really good.
Okay. And then my last two for the honorable mentions, because I came up with like fucking 18, which I was totally surprised about. Another one that kind of straddled the line between horror and comedy, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. Great movie.
Love that movie. I think it's like 20 years old.
Yeah, it's got
which
it.
Is insane. But it's such a good movie. And I love the fact that it literally tells you the whole plot of the movie in the beginning. The like, you know, hey, we'll swing by, see the parents, we'll do this, we'll do that, and then we'll go down to the bar for a pint, you know?
And like,
and
that's what they did.
When you look at the plot of the movie, that's what they did, you know? So, but yeah, I like Shaun of the Dead. And then the last one, you and I discussed this, I think, before we even started. It can be classified as either sci-fi or horror. Alien.
Yeah.
The original Alien, not Aliens. Aliens is sci-fi action.
Right.
Alien, though, is sci-fi horror.
Correct.
And
very good movie.
It is a very good movie. And I know it scared the shit out of the chest burster scene, you know.
The one that got me is when
the actors knew that that was going to happen.
Right.
So.
But when the alien gets Dallas in the air vent, you know, it's like he turns around and, you know, that jump scare that you love so much, you know. But yeah, that's, you know how my feelings on the Alien franchise, I love, you know.
And there's a new one of those coming out soon.
Romulus, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where that's streaming. I think it's coming straight to streaming.
Is it streaming? I thought it was going to theaters.
I can't, it's so hard to keep track of some of this
stuff. I know
now.
I saw a trailer for it before Godzilla versus Kong, the new empire.
So maybe they are putting it
out. So they might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's top 10 horror movies. I mean, this is fun. I like doing these. Like, this was a good. I'm totally crediting Noah with, because he's the one who was like, let's do top 10 gangster movies, but rank them. And so I'm like, I'm running with that. So we're gonna keep going through genres as we go.
There's a lot of genres you can do.
Oh, dude, there's a ton. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be hard. Some genres are gonna be harder, like comedies.
Right.
Oh fuck! I'm gonna have a.
You'd
rough
almost
time
have to do
that.
Like you'd almost have to do comedies of the 70s and 80s and then 90s.
You could, because that's the thing. It's like I love 80s comedies. Like they're just so raunchy and wrong and just stuff you can't get away with these days. And hell, even some of the comedies from like the 2000s are things you can't get away with these days.
No.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But let's talk about that H. Upman there a little bit. You and I are both done, which it lasted a lot longer. We're at like a little over an hour.
Yeah,
and
I'm surprised because I even said, well, this ain't a 45-minute
stick. Dude, it lasted quite a while. And
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too.
It was a medium.
Solid medium.
Solid medium. Smoked well all throughout.
Not a lot of flavor variation to it.
No.
I mean, it was...
What you got at the beginning is what you had all the way through.
What you get at the end. But that's kind of, you know, indicative of Cubans, you know. At least in my limited experience, I guess. But I will say burn line on it was really good. Draw on it was really good. The ash held on really well.
Yeah.
You know, it. I have nothing bad to say. It was a really good cigar. And yes, to the retrohale, you had that little bit of pepper in the back of it. You know, it was a nice, but a very cedary taste to it. Which,
like,
again,
you,
I mean,
still get almost after cedary on your tongue.
Yeah. Which, I mean, when did you buy these? 17?
17.
So they've been sitting in your humidor for like
seven. Almost, it was summer of 17.
So nearly 7 years in your humidor. Yeah, they're going to have that cedar kind of aspect to it. But they held up really well.
Yeah.
Had a little bit of wrapper come off. I guess my lip must have been like maybe tacky enough that the wrapper was fragile enough that it tore. But no issue construction-wise whenever that happened. I was kind of worried, like, ah, fuck, I just tore the wrapper. Now it's going to like go to shit on me. Held together all the way to the end. So, no, it was a quality cigar. I really did enjoy it. Thank you, Mike. That
you are
nice.
Welcome.
Anyway, so now that we've done the Villiger report, let's go ahead and do this.
Guess what, motherfucker?
Time for three cigars we smoked and enjoyed this week. Are you even remotely prepared for this?
Yeah, because we were together less this past Saturday.
That's true. You got some cigars in this past Saturday.
I just
got
to try to remember what they were.
Here you go. So, well, that's what the beauty of me keeping my list is that, you know, I've been doing that. So why don't you go first?
All right. Let's see. What was the first one I smoked? I smoked a La Flor Dominicana Lancero the other day.
Okay.
That we picked up last weekend. I didn't smoke it Saturday because I'd smoked so many. I didn't want to, you know, I love a Lancero.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have a fresh palate. So I smoked out of here on the porch a few days ago. That was really, really good. I had that West Tampa, or let's see, what did we?
Yeah, you had the West Tampa Red.
Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an extremely, extremely good smoke. And then trying to think, what was the? You picked it out for me.
Was it the Garofalo?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's also on my list, is the Garofalo La Familia Sungrown
in
the Robusto size.
So, that was like, really good.
I didn't smoke it that day that you and I got together. I smoked it first the next day.
Okay.
So that would have been Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, yeah.
Holy shit. I forgot just how much like spice there was that cigar.
Yes.
I lit that up and I'm smoking it while I'm driving to the movie theater, because that's when I went and saw The Godfather at the movie theater. And I'm smoking it on the way and I'm just like, shit, this is a freaking spice bomb. And I had forgotten it because it had been a minute since I'd had one. And I got to the theater and I'm like, oh my God, I need a drink, you know? So, yeah.
See, that was one of the last ones I smoked Saturday.
Okay.
And that's why I was like, I didn't want to smoke another one because I wouldn't be able to taste any, differences.
It hit really hard. And to be honest, I didn't smoke another one until my drive home from the theater. And so I had some nice time in between that one. And I only smoked the two on Sunday, but that's one of them, was that Garofalo. My second one that I smoked and enjoyed this week was the Olmec Double Corona that I smoked on the show with Mr. Jonathan.
Okay.
I like Foundation cigars. They make really good cigars. That Olmec is not one that I've smoked on the regular too much because it's not, I don't find it around St. Louis all the often. So when I find it, I grab them, but I kind of hang on to them a little bit because I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then eventually.
Might not see it again for a while.
Exactly. And so smoking that was a nice little treat. And it had that very Padron-esque kind of quality to it. It's just a really, really good cigar. I really did enjoy that. And then my last one that I smoked and enjoyed this week, I'm high on this cigar. I've smoked quite a few of them here lately since I found a place that carries it. But the Christoph Nicaragua.
Okay.
Super good cigar. Very great price point. Quality construction. Doesn't have that shaggy foot going on anymore. You know, just a lot of flavor to it. And it's like $9.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I've been really high on the Christoph Nicaragua lately.
Awesome.
So, anyway, so there we go. Was that your three? Yeah, you had your two, and then the Sungrow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we hear about my monthly cigars? This would normally be the time that I give some information about my monthly cigars, but I've hired that out this week, so take it away.
My Monthly Cigars is a premium cigar subscription service. It comes in a variety of different size boxes at affordable prices. Use offer code PULPIT and get free shipping on your first box and 20% off any items in the online store at mymonthlycigars.com.
That's offer code PULPIT. Thanks. While you guys are over there, make sure you check out the Fucking Good Coffee. And get yourself some of that. And if you're interested in the Fucking Good Cigar, make sure you sign up to get the email notifications about how and when you can pre-order that. So that'll be coming soon. Otherwise, in terms of the socials, I'm on Instagram at The Cigar Pulpit. I'm on Facebook with the Pulpit Parishioners Group. You can get in on the fun there. I'm on Twitter/X and YouTube where you can watch this. And if you're interested in Pulpit Fest, August 23rd through the 25th in Palm Coast, Florida, Make sure you get your tickets now. It's available on Eventbrite, Brite.com, and just search for Pulpit Fest, and you'll find it, and sign up for that. Complimentary tickets, just need a head count.
Awesome.
There you go. And you're on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm a member of the Parishioners
Group. You're on the Parishioners Group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So let us know what you thought of our list.
Yeah. Let us know your top. Because, you know, we're doing these lists and everything, and I got some good feedback on the gangster one.
And there's always stuff you forget about.
Oh, dude, inevitably. Like, yeah, inevitably there's something I forget about. But, you know, somebody will remind me. It'll come, you know. Anyway, well, again, thank you so much for the cigar, man. That was
no
really
problem.
Great.
Thanks for coming out.
No, this has been fun.
Joining me in the mobile studio here.
It's not so mobile.
No.
It's pretty stationary.
Satellite studio.
There we go. We got the satellite studio here. This is good. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, well, this has been another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
Everybody stay safe and stay smoky. One of these days, I'm going to have to figure out who I can have on the show to do top 10 favorite pornos.
Figure Trey.
It's a show. You know, Trey would be a good one for that. Dude, dead on.
Trey and that weirdo guy up north that does the voice.
Oh, Noah?
What's his alter ego?
Oh, I could have Jerry Pulaski on.
Yeah, Jerry Pulaski
and
Trey Mack.
Jerry Pulaski. That could get weird. It could get a little weird. I don't want animal shit in there. Later, guys.